HD Smartcast. You are listening to an HD Smartcast original.
Hi, I'm Ashutosh Garg. I am the author of the best-selling book, The Brand Called You. And this is our podcast, Be Brand Wise, where I bring you the stories of successful people and brands from around India and around the world. Here is a great chance to gain insights into how to build big businesses and what mistakes can and should be avoided. Not only is this podcast the brainchild of the brand called You, it is also an HT Smartcast original, and it is available on htsmartcast.com, India's fastest growing podcast producing platform. Today I have someone who is very, very experienced in travel. Shobha Mohan. Shobha, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Shobha is the founder of Rare India, which is an organization she has built for experiential travel. She herself has traveled extensively. And interestingly, she is a zoology graduate who did journalism and mass communication. So tell me a little bit about Rare. First, it's a very nice name. What does it mean?
It started off as TS Marketing Services in 2004. It was a proprietorship travel and hospitality marketing company. Again, it consolidated. It just didn't happen then. 1996, I started a travel company with a neighbor of mine to promote offbeat hotels. Mm-hmm. You know, this was 1996, 1997, 1998. I started, you know, traveling bus, train, however I could, even, you know, hitching a bike on a bike with a biker, going into Kumaon Hills, going into Himachal Hills and finding out these offbeat places. And at one point in time in 1997, I knew about 100 different places, not even heard about. And we had moved to Gurgaon in 1995. And my partner and I used to sit at the Gurgaon Club, this DLF Club, which is a very small one near Bristol Hotel. And, you know, catch people going to the swimming pool and things like that and keep talking to them about a place nobody's even heard of. I mean, Himalayan Trout House, the cottage in Jolicoat. You know, and this is a tribe. Even back then, it was a tribe. So people, you know, recommended. So if you went to the Jolicoat, she would recommend the Nathwa Khan people. She would recommend something called the Red Clover, which is, I don't know if they even exist today. So that is how the business began. But it was largely dedicated to the domestic market. And the kind of people who came to travel with us was mostly people from advertising, media, you know, those kind of people, because the regular people did not understand a non-hotel concept. So these are the kind of people who would be approaching us. And 1999, Outlook Traveler came about, and all these Shobha's secret places kind of suddenly splashed all over this thing, and their contacts, their numbers, their addresses were all put there. And slowly the business lost its relevance in the model it was in. And that is when there was a time when I was thinking I should quit, and you know, there was mortgages to pay, there were children coming up, and my husband also was restarting his in the travel space. So I was looking at taking up a job somewhere, and then suddenly out of the blue, one of the hotels I traveled to that winter said, you know, we're looking for somebody to market us in Delhi, would you want to take it up? And I said, yes, you know, very low paid, but it just seemed what I wanted to do. And that is when the switch happened. This is 2004 I'm talking about.
And you haven't told me what happened, how the word Rare came.
So, till 2009, it was TS Marketing Services. And again, I was the only one person who was doing it in this fashion. By 2009, I was a proprietor and I had one person working with me. I had a couple of part-timers who would come and go, but there was only Murli Sundaram, an accountant, and we were a team of three. There was a lady who just became a partner later on, but she was part-timing. So in 2009, I renamed it as Rare, because I was looking at a name that would signify these things in one word, because these were not easy to come by. Unusual, rare, unique. And also I called it Rare Destinations and Experiences, because I wanted to drive it from the experience point of view, not so much as the destination, but more with the experience. And with the experience, it became a destination. And most of them are destination hotels. Okay. So there is only one hotel in that destination.
Over the years, we've also traveled quite extensively. I find more and more people are looking for experiences rather than just a destination.
Correct.
How involved do you get in curating an experience for your guests?
So, to be very honest, I'm only the bank teller. Okay. I only put the money out.
Okay.
So, this is actually curated by the owners of the hotels. Mm. My only work there is to drive authenticity, mm-hmm. to ensure that it follows the tenets that RARE lays out when they audit a hotel.
Okay.
So it is essentially, I might give feedback and tell them that, you know, this is an experience that you could highlight. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, because they're all owner-run hotels, mm-hmm. most of them are, it is their concept.
Okay.
It's not my concept.
Okay.
It is, for me, it is to aggregate them and bring them under a community, which is what RARE is.
And then you speak about conscious luxury travel. What does this mean?
You know, if you look at the collection or the community of hotels we have, all of them are unique in 2-3 ways. Mm. One is, of course, most of them are out of the usual tourist circuits.
Correct.
Most of them are actually following a passion. Mm. Or they have gone back to their hometown or their base and have created something that they feel passionate about. Many of them, we have photographers on board, we have filmmakers on board, we have people who set up some well-to-do fashion brands. We have people who, one of the first hotels to come on board was a fashion photographer. Then there are conservationists. His house was like his laboratory. And that is where he puts out an experience. So basically, these are their experiences. My only work is to go visit them, check for their authenticity, and also look at it from various aspects of how they are impacting the community. How is it? Because lots of small components mm-hmm. add up to the fact that they are conscious about the environment. Okay. They are conscious about how they are engaging with the community. Mm-hmm. They're also conscious about how they want to highlight the destination. Mm-hmm. You know, today in the travel space, when I started in 2004, experience was not in mm-hmm. the travel space at all at that point in time. A hotel was just a hotel, or it was a resort or a retreat.
Correct.
Right? If it was a jungle lodge, it was a lodge. Over a period of time, you know, slowly the experience started. I mean, 2004, we literally laid out the blueprint for what an experiential hotel would be like. Even tour operators, there were only a handful of tour operators who drove the business from that point of view. Then suddenly, in this space, as a few people who work with me have gone out and branched out on their own, suddenly experience is everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So we said meaning is the new luxury. We said experience is the new luxury. We said all of this, and all these narratives have gone on. However, our audit principles have evolved with our partner hotels.
Okay.
So conservation is a big perspective. Preservation of heritage and wildlife is a big perspective. Repurposing of heritage is a big perspective. Working with the community is a point of view that is a very important aspect of a lot of our hotels. Sustainable best practices.
Mm.
What do they do with their plastic garbage? I noticed in the last 3-4 years, especially in the last 1 year, thanks to Greta, that it has become a big part of every conversation, mm. and especially the travel
okay.
and hospitality conversations.
Okay.
So last year, our business did a switch over, mm. right? And when that happened, when we looked at rephrasing our business, we kind of brought all this into center focus. It always existed.
Mm-hmm.
It always existed. When we talked about audit points, these were points that we spoke about all the time.
Correct.
But when we rephrased it, and I wanted to create key differentiators, I brought the consciousness of how and where you travel to.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can look at travel from the windows of, you know, from the windows of sustainability, we brought this whole idea of conscious luxury travel, and we rephrased the RARE community as a community of conscious luxury hotels. Conscious and not sustainability, because sustainability is still a bad word in this thing. They think it is basic, rustic, you know, all these connotations go with it, which is why we said conscious, and we kind of defined consciousness as being aware, believing in it, and making the right choices.
Amazing. Thank you for telling me all this, because, you know, when you read this phrase, you don't understand so
yes,
much of it goes behind it.
Yeah.
So my next question is, you started the business in 2004. You've been working with people who want to travel even earlier. And yet this is the age of millennials. How are millennials redefining travel?
So millennials are more tech savvy, net savvy. So they will be looking at traveling or looking at these travel opportunities. They're also faster. When I actually used to go and train people earlier, there's a lot of conversations, you know, easy, you know, people trying to understand you. So all my older relationships have been based on people talking to you, people trying to understand where you are from. So if I break down my business pre-2014 and post-2014, all my substantial contacts pre-2014, I was in my late 30s or early 40s, and people were in their late 40s. So they would take time to understand where you're coming from, right? Two things have happened to the millennials, that they are geared to this, right? They know all of this. And social media has created a larger impact, and their understanding of these things are much higher. However, they're also very deal-driven. You know, very deal driven, So I want to make sustainability or conscious luxury travel very sexy. That is when I think, you know, the millennials will kind of understand it, or they'll kind of get into deeper into the whole idea. That said, I find a lot of millennials, you know, who really get it quickly. And there are some millennials who will take the shortcuts, you know, so they'll understand a few things, they won't understand a few things, you know, so things like that. And also somebody with gray hair talking this, probably they think that I'm not so cool. But sustainability is a worldwide conversation, you know, so
So I've got one more question for you on travel before I move. And, you know, that relates to infrastructure. One of the biggest problems I keep hearing is a big challenge to tourism development is infrastructure. So if you were the Minister of Tourism, what were some of the changes you would want to see to give a huge boost?
I have a little disagreement where this whole infrastructure thing is concerned. For instance, having flights everywhere are taking you as close to the jungle as possible. These create opportunities for over-tourism. You know, what is tourism, or what is the idea of a sustainable development if you kind of completely ruin the destination? I mean, Agra is like 3 hours away. Corbett is a great example. One of our best forests, one of our first national parks. You know, it is inundated with hotels. It has no, you know, infrastructure. The roads are quite good. There are no dearth of hotels. I mean, there is no place for you to stand quietly and watch the wildlife. So, infrastructure development, if I would keep some places inviolate, I wouldn't drive, make these big roads going into tribal areas, for instance. No. If somebody is interested and somebody is sensitive, they take that extra effort to drive there. Same thing about jungles and wildlife. Right? I would make some areas completely inviolate. The huge infrastructure is for your, you know, where you need vehicular traffic and things like that. That said, infrastructure also, I would give subsidies for solar energy. For instance, I would give subsidies to ensure that the culture of a destination stays as it is. I mean, I just saw a headline for Ladakh, love to death. I mean, are we loving Ladakh to death? And that is what will happen now. I mean, if you kind of just open up an area for tourism, it will kill the, I mean, Ladakh is sensitive, environment is concerned, it is sensitive, it is culturally sensitive, it is sensitive in every which way. And if you open it up for people to drive, to fly, to, you know, to take choppers and things like that, you will completely ruin the destination. So the idea is about driving quality tourism, high value tourism, you know, that is what will ensure that, you know, we have some places, not some places, most of the top end tourism places that will, that really, they form the image of India, you know, they will have to be inviolate and pristine. It doesn't change. 20 years down the line, Ladakh should still be as it is. And there have been companies, not now, from the 70s, there have been companies who have been promoting, you know, Ladakh like that, have been promoting jungles like that. Some of our oldest wildlife lodges are entrenched in the whole, the entire philosophy of conservation. How to bring tourists in, but at the same time, keep it so pristine that nothing changes, right? And unlike what people might be thinking, they're not, people are not sitting there and saying, oh, come city people, come and, you know, inundate us and take our resources away and you take our water away and like, nobody is sitting there looking for tourism.
They're happy doing what they are.
They're happy doing what they are, right?
Very interesting. Shobha, thank you very much. It's been such a pleasure speaking to you. And I wish Rare India lots of success.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Ashutosh. It was a pleasure talking to you. And I just didn't feel one bit conscious at all. And thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel, The Brand Called You, and never miss any update. For feedback, reach us on @ HD Smartcast. We are present on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. To listen to more podcasts by the brand called You, log on to www.hdsmartcast.com. Aur suno naye nazariye se.
This was an HD Smartcast original.
HD Smartcast.